This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Book of Equanimity, Case 84. Whenever he was asked a question, Master Gutai raised one finger. That's the whole case. The case also appears in this one line, one finger version in the Blue Cliff Record. However, it appears a third time in the Mumonkan in a longer version. It's case 3 in the Mumonkan. And the longer version is usually the one we hear first and are more familiar with. And in that one, having said that Gutai always answered every question by raising one finger, the story goes to say that there was a young monk in the temple who was once asked by a visitor, "What does your master teach?" And the young boy raised one finger. When Gutai heard of that, called the boy to him, cut off his finger with a knife. Boy ran screaming from the room. And just as he got to the door, Gutai called his name. And the boy turned around, Gutai raised one finger, and the boy was enlightened. It's interesting, a certain way to compare the two versions, and they represent, in a sense, the Book of Equanimity versus the Mumonkan, a Soto telling of the story versus a Rinzai telling of the story. The Mumonkan we're focused on a dramatic moment of an enlightenment experience and how, in order to have that come about, something has to be cut off, even violently cut off, for there to be realization. It's a kind of picture of cutting off of ego, self, very much in that Rinzai spirit. In the Book of Equanimity, we have a different kind of story in which it simply says, whenever he was asked a question, Master Gutai raised one finger. There, what is emphasized is this kind of lifetime of ongoing practice, something that he totally relied on. In every possible circumstance, that was completely fulfilling and expressive of whatever was happening. Raise one finger. In some of the commentaries, you get a little background story about Gutai. Before he himself was enlightened, how he got his one finger Zen. It was said that for years he sat, perhaps alone in a small temple, and one day a nun showed up, came to the doorway and said, "If you can say a word of Zen, I'll come in." And Gutai was tongue-tied. And so she left. And this left him quite humiliated. And he resolved that whatever he was doing sitting there in the temple obviously wasn't getting him anywhere. He better go on pilgrimage and find himself a master. And that night he had a dream in which a voice said to him, "Don't go anywhere. If you stay here, a great master will come to you and resolve all your problems." And sure enough, the next day, old Master Tenryu comes along. And he comes into the temple, and young Gutai tells him the whole story and how he felt so totally baffled when the nun asked him to say a word of Zen. Tenryu heard the whole thing and raised one finger, at which point Gutai was enlightened. So the first question, of course, is if the nun had come to your door and asked you to say a word of Zen so she could come in, what would you say? One could somewhat cynically imagine Gutai being rather socially phobic, just unable to speak. And Tenryu just gave him the perfect out, you know. He never has to speak again. Now, no matter what anybody asks him, he holds up one finger. He doesn't have to learn to talk. But we'll try to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that there was a deep realization in what Tenryu did. So what is the meaning of one finger? I think however you look at it in either tradition, the important thing is to not think that one finger is a symbol of something, certainly not a symbol of oneness. Gutai or Tenryu could have held up two fingers or three fingers, could have held up a flower. Right? Doesn't matter that it was one finger particularly. What we have is the presentation of something immediate. Right? That one finger is the thing that Kant told us we could never know. The thing in itself. Kant said, there's the world that we know, and that there's the world as it is before we know it. The thing before we wrap it in our concepts, before we use any idea, concept, construct to understand it. And so, by definition, the thing in itself cannot be understood or known, because if you know it, you've wrapped it in a concept. Right? I'm afraid Professor Kant would have been slapped silly by Rinzai, and Gutai might have poked him in the eye with his finger. In Zen, the presentation of immediacy is the answer to Kant, and is the just this, the thing in itself. Right? And so the finger that Gutai holds up, if it's going to be the thing in itself, can't have any meaning attached to it. Right? It's not a symbol of something else. It's just that. Right? And it doesn't matter what it is. So in a sense, the one finger, that it's one finger, is can be tricky. It can make you think it's a symbol of something. But but it's just what it is. It's just this immediate presentation, just this, right? Now, if we turn to the Soto version of the story, which is simply the one line, that whenever he was asked, he waves one finger. We're not interested in the moment of cutting through or off or realizing or anything else. We're saying, then what? How does this carry itself forward for the rest of your life? And Guttai says, when Guttai was on his deathbed, he said, I've used Tenryu's one finger Zen my whole life and never exhausted it. And so saying, he raised one finger and he died. He relied on one finger the way a Christian relies on God or Christ. Right? And I think that's part of what we want to understand about that. Not relying on God as a savior or in control, but as a presence that never leaves. The way in which you can, if you're a believer, feel you're never alone, because God is always with you. Whatever is happening, there's something that you know is present that gives it meaning, or gives it something, right? And so we're trying to have a sense of what is it that Guttai felt as he relied on this one finger Zen. See, I think it's analogous to when Joko talks about each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Instead of saying the only teacher, in this case we might say the ever-present teacher, the teacher that will never leave you, the teacher that is always there, moment after moment after moment. So if you're afraid of being alone, if you're afraid of being lost, of not knowing what to say, right, that teacher is always right at hand, you know, in Guttai's case, literally, right? The teacher that never leaves you. How do we understand that? See, we've been talking about posture today. And there's a certain sense in which the upright posture of Zen is like Guttai's one finger. There's a Soto teacher I saw quoted recently who said, Zazen is posture plus nothing else. Right? That Zazen is what is happening in your body, not what's happening in your mind. Right? Not that there's a difference between the two, but the point is that to put your body in this posture, in this alignment, is equivalent to holding up the one finger. You see, you are then perfectly present. Nothing is missing. It will take you through any circumstance. You can rely on it totally, anytime, anywhere. Right? If you do this Zazen, maintain this posture, it's like holding up Guttai's finger. You can't miss. It's it. Right? And the posture is not symbolizing anything. It's not a means to an end. It's the thing itself. This is it. Right? And that is much more of the Soto sense of carrying forward practice, carrying forward Gutai's fingers. It's how do we use the posture or the performance of Zazen the way Gutai used his finger. Right? We perform Zazen when life confronts us with anything, we respond with our Zazen. Right? That it is a perfect and complete response to whatever is happening. Right? Because it means being non-separate from whatever is happening, being present to whatever happening. You're being one with your teacher, life, when you're sitting in Zazen, whatever that teacher is offering you. See, I think when we start out, we're much more preoccupied with the Mumonkan version of this story because we want something big and dramatic to happen. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But as we get older, the issue is much more, how do you carry this forward day after day after day? Point is not to have some big satori over and over and over again. Then what? Right? How does that manifest itself day after day? Right? One answer is to sit straight, be upright. Just this.